Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you your secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who didst wonderfully create and yet more wonderfully restore the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, thy Son, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm. We will read Psalm 84 in unison. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on the pilgrim's way. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water. They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Hearken, O God of Jacob. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed.
Thank you. every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching with great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Christ increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Gospel of the Lord.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have become a babysitter. Our former youth minister, Liesl, sometimes has to work nights as a nurse's assistant, and her husband has to work a few hours in the evening, so occasionally she will bring over Alexis to my house. Alexis is not yet 2. And I've come to consider my time with Alexis like a lesson for me. Alexis teaches me. The first time Alexis walked into my kitchen, she saw a clock that I had bought at Walmart 3 years ago, and she said with utter fascination, pointing, "Clock!" And I thought to myself, "It is quite an incredible thing, that clock, and I've stopped noticing it. And its hands go around and around, and yes, it is a clock, right. I think I forgot." Alexis notices everything. She's fascinated by the world just as it presents itself in front of her. And she's forming words. A few days ago, my son Luke and I took her for a little walk down the street, And the sun was setting, and we came to a puddle. And the puddle was at the bottom of a driveway. It wasn't more than a foot. And Alexis wanted to stomp her foot in the puddle. And I thought, well, I have a washer and dryer, it's okay. So she stomped her foot, boom, and I said the word, great word, by the way, splash! She looked at me with fascination. Then she jumped with both feet into the water, boom, and she said, splash! That puddle absorbed Alexis for over half an hour. I could not get her to leave. She wanted to jump in it. She wanted to touch it. She wanted to pull dirty leaves out of it and look at it. We did wash our hands afterwards. But I thought to myself, how many times have I walked by this driveway? How many times have I driven by this driveway? And I don't notice, and I don't notice the water, and I don't notice the leaves, and I don't notice how the sun is setting. Or she kept pointing at the moon, moon, moon. And I thought, wow, it is incredible. Look at the moon. Alexis is teaching me how to wake up again. How to see. Today's gospel is about a child. It's the only real story we have of Jesus as a child. And it's a wonderful story. I've always thought about it as the story when Jesus gets lost. But really, it's not Jesus who gets lost. It's everybody else who gets lost. See, Jesus was just like Alexis with the puddle. He went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and he went to the temple, and he didn't want to leave. He was having too much fun. So everybody else left the temple and went on and started back to Nazareth. And I do find it a little odd it took his parents a full day to recognize he wasn't around, but things were probably more relaxed back then. But Jesus was just loving being in the house of God. You all came out in this cold and rainy weather to be in the house of God, too. We forget how beautiful it is here. How much we're drawn to it. We forget that there are people out there that are lonely or suffering, and all we need to do is invite them in. It's miraculous to me how people's lives begin to change when they come here regularly. Just invite them. Jesus' parents, after a full day, they begin to realize that he's not there. And what happens to them? What happens to them is what happens to all of us all the time. They got scared. They got anxious. They got angry. They got frantic. And they start running around. They get so frantic, they look for 3 days without checking the temple where they were before. I want to say, guys, what planet were you on there? And they're so full of frantic energy and anxiety and fear that when they get to Jesus, it's like they can't stop talking. You can almost hear them yelling at him, "Child, where were you? Where were you? What were you thinking? Why did you do this to me?" Poor Mary. She almost has a fit. Blah, 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 blah. And that's what we do, isn't it? When we panic or things start going wrong, we say to God, "Where are you? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Blah, 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 blah." In fact, the harder our lives get, the more I find I talk and talk and talk to God instead of listening. After Mary has just spent herself and yelled or whatever she did, Jesus says, "Where did you think I would be? This is my Father's house. This is my home. Just as it is your home, the house of God." You know, for years I always read this passage and I pictured Jesus at 12 years old telling all the rabbis and teachers about God. But this week I noticed something new in the passage that I had never noticed before. But I think it's really important. Jesus, when he went to the temple, he wasn't talking as much as he was listening. It says in the scripture that Jesus, the Son of God, was listening and he was asking questions. He was listening and he was asking questions. God incarnate. If anybody could have told them about God, it would have been him, right? But instead, God decides to listen. I think the older we get and the busier that we get, the more we talk and talk and talk and we form our opinions and we decide about things and we stop listening. And we need to open our eyes and open our ears and wake up again. Jesus says, unless you be like the little children, you cannot experience the kingdom of heaven. You can't experience the kingdom of heaven when you're running by it, when you're full of talk and opinions. How can we listen to God when we can't even listen to each other? Lately, in my prayers, I've been picturing something. It's just been coming to my mind. It's an image that is a good metaphor, I think, for our lives. I picture that all of us have a circle of glass around us. You remember how St. Paul said in one of his letters, "Now we see through a glass dimly, but then we will see face to face." Well, if we all have this glass around us, when we're small children, the glass is clear. And we're fascinated to see things just as they are. A clock. A puddle. But even when we're children, when hard things happen to us, they can warp our glass or warp our perception. Take, for example, if a little girl is hurt physically by her father, it can warp her glass. So when she looks at a man, any man, she sees someone dangerous. Someone who can hurt her. But it's not just traumatic events that color or warp our perception, our glass. It could be strong opinions. Maybe our grandmother said to us, "Watch out for those people." And so what happens is we begin to color our perception. And we look at other people thinking that we actually know them, thinking that we understand them. We look at a person and we say, "Oh, that person is a liberal," or "That person is a conservative." Do you really think you can understand another human being? And I think the people that we judge the most, that we think we know the most, are ironically the people that we love the most. We think we know them, and we stop listening. It is impossible to truly know another human being. Human beings are made in the image of God, and we're unfathomable. We should never make up our minds about each other. We should never think that we fully know each other. Because when we do that, we do not see clearly. And some of us, our glass gets so clouded with opinions and perceptions and judgments and past experiences that we can't see anything at all. All we really see is a reflection of our own self. And then, my friends, our lives become so self-absorbed, that's like a version of hell, really. But there is actually actually a kind of Windex that the church can provide for you, you know. There are different forms of Windex, different ways that we can clean our glass. Can anyone think of a kind of Windex? A practice, maybe, of Christianity that could help us learn to see again? Anyone? Prayer.
Communion.
Serving others. Reading the scripture. Love. Sharing. Forgiveness. Singing. All of these ways are ways of cleaning the glass, waking ourselves up again to the presence of God in our lives. There was a great saint, I think I told you this years ago, but I love this phrase, what he said. He said, "Don't seek God, see God." Jesus never left the temple, and God never leaves you. But we become so frantic and busy and preoccupied, and we make up our minds about other people in such a way that we stop listening and we stop seeing. This is a new year, and the theme of this year at the cathedral is courageous relationships. We want to explore how to be in courageous relationships with each other and with God, the kind of relationship in which you open yourself again. You clean your glass and you allow that person to change you. I think one of the reasons we let our glass get so cloudy is part of us is just plain old scared. Everything out there is amazing and unpredictable, and sometimes even frightening. But remember that at 12 years old, what did Jesus do in the house of God? He listened. He asked questions. That's how we find each other and we find God. If you practice listening to each other, you'll be able to hear God. And that, my friends, is the most important relationship in our lives. Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of the Middle East. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. We pray especially for Meta Granger Hyatt and Melvin. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Heavenly Father, your kingdom is all around us, and we are your children. Help us to remember to be childlike in that kingdom. Clean our glass. Help us to see you and to see you in each other. We ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. My brothers and sisters, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you raise your hand, if you're new, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so glad you're here, all who are visiting are new, but keep that hand up until your gift comes and people will bring it to you. We have a men's gathering where they grill and chill. Not sure, they just hang out and grill, I guess. That's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I want to thank you to all who pledged for 2016. I think our wall's almost down. We may have one brick. We're doing great. We're way ahead of last year. I'm so proud of everyone. If you did pledge for 2016, you have envelopes with your name on it back there in the cloister, and some people really like to use those envelopes, so pick them up. Also, don't forget to fulfill your pledge for 2015. We always wait with bated breath in the first few days of the new year to see that everything comes in, so we're grateful to all of you for your generosity. As we begin this year and talk about courageous relationships, we will have classes. Today we began a Dean's Forum in which we look at the saints and their relationship with God and how it changed them and changed the world. On Wednesday evenings, David and I have worked on a schedule that's a little more streamlined. So we'll have dinner from 5 to 5:45. Three classes are from 5:45 to 7. Basic A, which is the class that I teach about why we do all the funny things we do here at the cathedral. It's great for new people or people that just want to refresh themselves. David will be teaching a new class called Understanding the Human Soul. And then we also have our painting place, a painting studio that anyone can come. You don't have to have any talent at all. Try to let the Holy Spirit speak through your brush. That also goes on. And we have programs for children and youth. At 7 o'clock, we're all going to gather together and say evening prayer or compline. So you all are welcome to do that on Wednesday nights with us. Last but not least, as you leave today, and remember this Wednesday is the 12th day of Christmas, the day the wise men get to the manger. So we'll be saying an Epiphany evening prayer. But as you're leaving today, if you would like to take a poinsettia with you, please do. We don't want to just leave them here to dry up and die. Take them home and enjoy them while you do that. Yes? All right. Remember how the Lord Jesus, when he was only 12 years old, was in the house of God. And what was he doing? He was listening. He was asking questions.
Thank you.
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. To us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he'd given thanks, he gave to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy God, send us anywhere you would have us go, only go there with us. Place upon us any burden you desire, only stand by us to sustain us. Break any tie that binds us, except the tie that binds us to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ.